It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and it's so good to be coming to you today. I'm teaching this week on the book of Philippians. We're on a verse-by-verse journey through this wonderful book, the book of joy, a book that Paul taught the Philippians or wrote to the Philippians to teach them how to have an attitude of joy in the middle of their suffering. Paul says some difficult things. We heard in the last few sessions where he tells them that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, an attitude of servitude, putting others first, denying yourself and taking up the cross. And then Paul reached for the stars and he said, do everything without grumbling or complaining. That's not easy, because sometimes we do what we do knowing God wants us to do it, and then we still murmur and complain. Now today we're going to pick up with the last part of chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 19, and Paul says this, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. Now at this point in Paul's life, he's under house arrest in Rome. He was very limited in what he could do, and yet he was still somehow able to manage and run this global ministry that was reaching the known world at his time. He was able to serve as an apostle, and he used his fellow workers like Timothy to share his message and to minister to the churches that Paul had founded. The right kind of people in your life can add a great deal of joy in your experience down here on earth. Paul had this relationship with Timothy. He called him his spiritual son. I know there have been people in my life who greatly have impacted my life in this way. Now look at verse 20 as Paul begins to talk about his spiritual son Timothy. He says, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. I love these words Paul uses to describe Timothy. He called him one of kindred spirit. See, good friends should be like family. They may not be family in blood, but they're family in spirit. I truly believe when we as believers walk through some of the low points in our life, I really believe that's when you can find out who your friends are. It's a sad commentary in these two verses because Paul mentions two groups in the kingdom, those like Timothy who are selfless, and then others who just seek after their own interests. They might do all the right things, but they do them for the wrong reasons. I love when Paul writes his letter to Timothy, his second letter, 2 Timothy 1, verse 3 and 4. Look what he said about Timothy. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. Here you can see the passion that Paul felt for his spiritual son, Timothy. He went on in verse 5, he said, for I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. As Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, he mentions here that one of the things he is so proud of is he says, Timothy, your faith is sincere. Now, this was a Greek word that people of that day were quite familiar with. It's the exact opposite of the Pharisees, sincera. It's without hypocrisy. See, many times people in that time period, especially the Greeks, instead of using this word for sincere, they would just say, you're without wax. You see, if you ordered a marble statue or a bust of a certain leader or god, back in the times of the Apostle Paul, oftentimes if the craftsman made a mistake or if he broke off an ear, he would just repair it using wax. And it was dishonest, but it's what they did nonetheless. The only way you could know if it was without wax is you would have to take it out in the sunlight and let the light reveal the cracks. The same thing was true with the gigantic Corinthian columns. They looked like one giant column, but they were actually several pieces put together, and they had people whose job it was to just go around and put wax over the cracks so that people wouldn't see the flaws. Paul is saying to Timothy here, your faith is without wax. It's not like the statues with a broken off ear. It'll withstand scrutiny when it's put to the light. Then Paul goes on to list Timothy's pedigree. He says, I'm reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I'm convinced that it dwells in you now. Oh, the power of a good example. Paul gives them two examples here to the Philippians of a good example. He gives them Timothy and Epaphroditus, is two people that he wants them to know that are a part of his ministry team, and that he trusts them to teach them the right path until he can be there in person. See, good friends, let me tell you a couple things about good friends. Good friends are reliable. As Paul is listing these two examples, we can see from the first few verses that good friends are reliable. Paul said of Timothy, I have no one else like him, who I can be sure he will look out for your best interest and the interest of Christ Jesus, not his own. I have often said in my life that my greatest disappointment in life has been how little people value friendships. To me, it's my greatest treasure apart from my salvation and my family. Good friends are reliable. Timothy was the first person of the list that Paul gave when he listed these two people that were his reliable friends. You know, you can probably count on one hand the number of reliable friends that you have. And these are the people that you can call for whatever you need, and they're going to be there. I'm not talking about those fake book friends, where I have thousands of those. Most wouldn't go out of their way to lend a helping hand. Wow, I am so thankful for my close friends that God has put in my life. They're there. They're reliable. They're faithful. And then in Philippians 2, verse 22, Paul says this, but you know of his proven worth, speaking of Timothy, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Now, Paul tells the Philippians that Timothy has a good track record. He's proven his worth. Timothy will later accompany Paul on his second missionary journey as a member of the evangelistic team. And Paul says, I know this guy. He's proven his worth to me. Wow. What is unseen by many is seen by the Father and will be rewarded in heaven. My friend, you might be thinking no one knows or understands your faithfulness. But I want you to know, God sees it and he takes record of it. And he keeps account of your faithfulness. What is unseen by many is seen by the Father. I love how Paul closes verse 22 by describing his relationship with Timothy. He says, he served me like a child serving his father. That is powerful. That is rich. These two people Paul's listing today, Timothy and Epaphroditus, are true examples of a good friend. In verse 23, Paul begins again with my word, therefore. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. You know, friend, none of us know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Paul says, I want to come to you, but I'm not sure if I'm going to get there. But since I can't come now because of these chains, I'm going to send Timothy. He knows they're going to want to know, is he coming? And he's like, Timothy will be there, and I'm hoping I can be there with him. Not only am I hoping to send Timothy, but I'm hoping that I myself will be coming soon. Why is he going to send Timothy? Because he's reliable, because he's faithful. And he's going to send him in his stead. Now get this principle now. Faithfulness will open more doors in your life than your talents ever could. Faithfulness will cause fruitfulness in your life. You may think nothing is happening and nobody sees you, but faithfulness will cause God's abundant blessing in your life. It brings about fruitfulness. You just continue and stay at it. A servant's reward is he gets to do more. They're doing what they're doing now to serve the king, and then he rewards them by opening more doors for them to serve. Paul continues in verse 25. He says, "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus," the second individual now, "my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need." Now he says, "I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus." And Paul describes this friend as my brother and fellow worker, who is also your messenger. What a thing to have on your tombstone. My brother and fellow worker, who is also your minister or messenger who ministered to my need. See, friend, Epaphroditus, this guy, you say, who is this guy, Pastor Keith? I've never heard of him. He was a delegate that the Philippians had sent to minister to Paul in Rome. Imagine, they sent their associate pastor, or whatever he was, on a missionary journey just to minister to their missionary and their apostle. And as he brings their gift to Paul, and his ministry comes there to is to minister to Paul and take care of any needs that he has, he would have taken a very hazardous journey that was probably some 600 miles and lasted for like 6 weeks, a very difficult journey that no doubt caused him to become quite ill. And now Paul's sending him back to be of service to the Philippians. History tells us that this guy goes on to be the first bishop of Philippi. That's amazing. Now look at verse 26. "Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard that he was sick." See, now Paul is more concerned about them because they were worried about Epaphroditus' sickness. And so he sends them back to the Philippians to make sure they understand that he's okay. Now that is true love. What an intimate picture of love here that Paul had for the Philippians. He said in verse 27, "For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow." See, sometimes in the Christian life we have sorrows, and then there's times where we have sorrows upon sorrows. Does that sound familiar to you? When Paul's just like, I can't handle another thing here, so I'm sending him back so you guys aren't worried about him. And then he said in verse 28, it begins again with a therefore. "Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly so that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you." Wow. When you see him, you're going to know that he's been healed, and then I don't have to be so concerned about you. It does our heart good to see God's healing provision at work in our lives. Now, Paul winds this up here. Verse 29, he says, "Receive him then in the Lord with all joy and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me." Don't give him a hard time, Paul's saying. Just listen to him. He almost died for you to come and bring your gift to me. And then Paul throws in a little dig. He says, by the way, remember, he almost died risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. See, only Paul and the Philippians know what he was talking about there. I'm not even going to speculate, but I can tell you a lot of people are on the front lines around the world doing what we can't do. My missionaries, man, I admire them. They're on the front line doing what I can't do. Thank you for joining me today for Fresh Oil. Walk in grace today, friend. God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.